You are listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Good show for you today. We got some stuff to go over in Bachelor World, some reality shows to go over, and then I'm going to talk a little sports. I know I always tease that, and I want to get to it, but we're definitely getting to it today. So I'm going to talk a little Tom Brady, little concussions in the NFL, and then maybe even get into some baseball playoffs. But we will get to that momentarily.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean. Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This podcast brought to you by Athletic Greens. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That is it. No need for a million different supplements and pills to put in your body to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is go to athleticgreens.com/realitysteve. And I will repeat this until I'm blue in the face. If you forget these codes or if you get promo codes and stuff like that, all you got to do is go to the episode description in whatever podcast form you listen to. Most of you listen on Apple Podcasts. I've seen the number. I think it's about 86% of you listen on Apple Podcasts. Just go to the episode description. All you have to do is touch the advertiser. It's highlighted. You touch it, it brings you right to the landing page for all these, whether it's Athletic Greens or Dame Products, anything like that. First Leaf Wines. You just go to those pages. It'll bring you right to it if you click on the link on the episode description, mostly in Apple Podcasts, but it's also on Spotify as well and other podcast forums. All right. In a couple hours, I'll be releasing the Thursday podcast. No guests this week. I kind of had somebody, but it's not like they canceled on me, but they said they had to push it back. And it's like, okay. And then I was just in a very hard place to get somebody to cover so last minute. So I just decided to do your reader emails. And, you know, the biggest thing is in the podcast in a couple hours that goes up, should be up by about 9 a.m. Central Time, which is 10 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Mountain, and 7 a.m. Pacific. You will be able to hear me tell you the real story of behind the scenes of the Sally Carson Bachelor in Paradise fiasco that they made a reenactment of on Monday night. I know the full story, and I know you're going to say, like, well, isn't that kind of one-sided? Aren't you telling it from a side that is from, obviously, the contestant side? Well, yeah, it is coming from that side for sure. There's no denying that. However, do you know what the other side is? Production. And when has any producer in the history of the show ever did an interview where they talked about what their job is and what they do behind the scenes to these contestants? It's never happened, and it never will happen, because these people would get blackballed from the industry if they ever did an interview like that and actually revealed stuff. So unless somebody does it on the way out the door and has a career change, you're never going to hear production. So you're going to have to listen to the podcast and then make your own determination. Do you believe me and the sources that I have, or are you going to believe the production and the producers of this show? I think I know the answer to that, but like I said, the reenactment was kind of a joke because, and you'll hear me go into more detail, but I mentioned it yesterday, I'll mention it again today. The actual format of that reenactment that they did with Wells and I think another producer that was the other actor in that skit, everything that they did actually happened. But when you got into the details of what they said, that's where it was a bunch of lies and exaggerations. Like, a producer did go to South Carolina to get Sally to bring her to Mexico. A producer did drive Sally to her ex-boyfriend's house. Did they put her in the trunk for 4 hours? Come on. A producer did go to the airport with Sally. Sally did get a phone call at the airport. Sally did show up in Mexico. A producer did have her suitcase. All this stuff. I tell you exactly what went down. And like I said, you're not going to hear the other side. There's not going to be anybody that comes out and disputes that, because the only people that can dispute it are the show. And they're certainly not going to do it. And the producer involved, who I'm aware of which producer it was, there's no need to name them, but they're not going to come out and say something like, no, that never happened. Reality Steve is wrong. They're not going to admit that. They can't. They're never going to. They don't do that. They don't allow their producers to ever do an interview, because if they did, those producers would get exposed. Or I'm talking about a real interview. I mean, if they went on with, I don't know, somebody who kisses ass on all their podcasts, then yeah, a producer would probably just feed them what they want to hear. But you get a producer on an actual podcast that's not, I don't know, Bachelor affiliated or an ass-kissing podcast, you would get the questions that everybody wants to know the answers to. Like, what do you do behind the scenes? How do you get stuff out of contestants? Have you ever said this to a contestant? Have you ever done this to a contestant? Have you ever withheld sleep from a contestant? Have you ever withheld food from a contestant to get them to say, like, even if you got a producer on and asked them those questions, they're not going to answer honestly. They're just not, because they'd be giving away the show secrets. But that's what's great about people who have a platform, who don't have to worry about, you know, getting blackballed in the industry. It's the same, you know, shows I always talk about. Myself, Dave Neal, Game of Roses, She's All Batch. We're not getting paid by the show. We're not getting paid by NZK Productions. But we have plenty of information, all of us. We've all heard the same things. We share stories. We hear these things. And when you hear it from people that were directly on certain seasons and they tell you things, you know, then you've got the other side. You've got your Bachelor happy hours, your clickbaits. You know, the Brian and Mike show that I'm blanking on the title of their show. The Nick Viles that, you know, will always side with production and blame contestants. You know, look, I've never said you can't blame a contestant for something they said or did on the show. Like, you still said it and you still did it. However, each situation is different. I will say that. Every situation is different. So you can't just put it all under one umbrella. But this Sally situation is a clear just, let's throw her under the bus and run her over 5 or 6 times, because none of that happened. And you'll hear that coming up in podcast number 307, where it's just me doing reader emails. But the first reader email that I read is in regards to Sally, and I tell the whole Sally story. It's about 10 minutes long. Bachelor Zach, rose ceremony number 3 was last night. Obviously, I don't know any thing about eliminations just yet. I didn't bring it up yesterday in the daily roundup, so I'll bring it up now. And you saw the tweet that Alyssa Jacobs, Allie Jacobs, I don't know how she's, what name she's going by on the show, but she had the one-on-one date on Wednesday, or excuse me, on Tuesday in Santa Barbara. And it was a wine tasting date, plus they had brought out a hot tub in the middle of the vineyard, and they obviously had a hot tub experience. And, you know, Allie, I'm assuming, got a rose and obviously is now somebody that people will keep an eye on. But what's weird is they've had three group dates. In episode two, after the first night, they did two group dates and one one-on-one. And for those two group dates, I know who was on every date. And then for the third episode, they did two one-on-ones and a group date. I know who was on the group date, the football group date on Monday. And then obviously we know Allie was in this one. And there are a couple people that haven't been on any date that I have, of the ones that I have. The only two dates that I don't know who were on were the one-on-one in episode two and the first one-on-one in episode three. And there's some people that haven't been on any date. So they're either got cut the first night, got cut pre-show, or I guess it's possible they had one of the one-on-ones and had a week of no dates. That's a possibility too. So just trying to figure all that stuff out. But to have all your group date participants for all three group dates. So that's kind of helped me figure out some things.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And then did you see my note on Tuesday night in regards to baseball and The Bachelor intersecting? So Aaron Judge of the Yankees obviously hit a 60-second home run in Texas against the Rangers on Tuesday night. The guy who caught the ball, his name is Corey Yeomans. He is married to Bree Amaranthus, who was a first-night eliminatee on Ari Leyendyke's season of The Bachelor. She is a former podcast guest. She is somebody that I have become acquaintances with over the years because she is doing media out here in Dallas. Now, her and Corey moved to Dallas, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago. I could be off, but they were always up in the Pacific Northwest. They have moved to Dallas. She is doing reporting for Cowboys, Mavericks. I've seen her at Mavericks games. We'll meet up when I see her there. We'll just, you know, say hi to each other. And then watching her Instagram stories on Tuesday night, she does a story on the ball, and Corey caught it. And just crazy. Auctioneer people are already saying that ball is going to go, starting price for that ball is going to be $2 million. So, I mean, you know, when it comes to memorabilia, stuff like that, I've never been a memorabilia guy, so I don't care. But obviously, if $2 million is on the line and I can sell it for $2 million, I probably will. I probably would. I can't imagine that Corey's not going to sell that thing. Because if Aaron Judge wants the ball, he can pay whoever he wants. He's made a lot of money so far and is, well, I say a lot. He's going to be making a ton of money this offseason because he's a free agent. He's probably going to sign a $450 to $500 million contract. If he really wants his ball, he'll just go buy it from the auction, that buy it from Corey. Like, it's going to cost him, you know, they'll probably ask for a couple million as well. But, or they might give it to him. I don't know. But does it really matter when you're going to sign literally probably a $500 million contract this offseason? If he wants the ball, he can get it. I got to believe, though, as a, you know, just a civilian that Corey and Bree are, who wouldn't want a nice little probably $2 million bonus for just catching a baseball? You know, I get it that some people are like, oh, you should give him the ball. But come on. Every single one of you would probably sell that ball. So on Survivor last night, so three people get to go away, like, you know, at the end of the immunity challenge and reward challenge, each tribe had to send somebody away from another tribe, and the three of them had that whole risk-reward island thing. And this goes to show, I watch every episode of Survivor, yet my memory sucks so bad, because we've already had this once. It already happened once earlier this season when three people had to go and do that risk-reward thing, and I couldn't for the life of me tell you who the three were. I know Gabler was one of them, and that was the only one I remember. I'd really have to sit and think and look at the faces, and I'd probably still get it wrong. So that's what I mean. Like, we've already seen this done this season, and I still don't even remember what three. And then, you know, those three get separated. They're like, oh, if we ever make the merge, we're a tight three. It's just like, it's just so funny. The three of them said it last night, and who knows if they're going to. It was Owen, it was Noel, and I forgot the other guy's name that went, but yeah, already forgot. So that's what I mean. But another good episode, and you know, once we get to the merge, that's when things usually start picking up. Right after that was the Love Boat, and I gotta say, I watched the first 5 minutes. I thought maybe we'd get cameos from Gopher and Doc and Isaac from the original Love Boat. And apologies if one of them has deceased. I have no idea if one of them has passed. So if they are, my apologies for not looking that up beforehand. But it basically looks like Love Island on a boat, because it's just people coupling up and new singles coming in. That's what it looks like to me. That's the gist that I get. But I did not watch the full episode just yet. Another thing that I didn't watch last night was, I guess, the, I don't know what episode this is of the Kardashians' new season on Hulu. I think it's number season 2 or season 3. Here's how you know the Kardashians dominate the absolute world of pop culture. So usually, most entertainment sites, especially when it comes to the Kardashians, will have a recapper, and they'll recap the episode. Yet, as of right now, 11:18 Central Time, Wednesday night, I'm looking at Us Weekly's homepage. In the first four stories down the left-hand column that says latest news are all Kardashian-related. But they all happened in the episode that aired last night. So instead of someone just writing a recap and saying, you know, Kardashians recap and giving a, you know, a headline of, you know, something that happened in the episode, we literally have four different headlines. Here's what they are. Party. Kris Jenner spent over $700 on weed gummies amid hip issues. That's the first story headline. The second story headline. Kanye texted Kim he'd rather go to jail than wear her orange Prada jumpsuit. Third story headline. Kim Kardashian acknowledges all of the hot girls Pete dated before her. Fourth headline. Kourtney Kardashian reveals weight is, quote, so into her, quote, thicker body. But then when you click the stories, which I did, within the first paragraph, it says, on tonight's episode of The Kardashians, which airs Thursday, October 6th. And I'm like, wait a second, it's still the 5th where I am. Do those episodes go up at midnight Eastern? I still don't even know how these. Well, clearly they got advanced copies or whatever, screeners. But, I mean, they don't waste any time. They're literally up at 11:30. I don't even know if it's on out here yet. It's been released out here yet, because it says, like, just when I click on the Kris Jenner spent over $700 on weed gummies amid hip issues, it says, I sleep in pain and it seems to get worse and worse and worse, the matriarch said in a confessional during Thursday, October 6th episode of The Kardashians. Well, it's still October 5th where I am. And right now, so there's only one time zone that has that it's October 6th in terms of in the United States. So I don't know. I'm totally. But see what I mean? They couldn't just have a Kardashian recapper. They literally have. They took four different things that happened in that episode and made four different headlines of it. Because why? Because they're the Kardashians and people eat that shit up. That's crazy to me. I've never seen that many headlines coming from that. All right, I got some sports-related stuff. The first sports thing that I have... Oh, please don't tell me I deleted that email. Oh, no. Did I? Crap, I deleted the email. However, I did screenshot it and send it to my friends. So, let me pull up my phone real quick. Where is it? Here it is. All right. Boy, my friends had a lot of... Oh, here it is. So, I got an email. I get email stuff from all the time from like PR agencies that are just like promoting something and whatnot. And this one was from Bovada, which is an online gambling site. With the news that Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen are heading for a divorce, leading online sportsbook Bovada has released some odds on who the two A-listers will be dating next, included below for you to use freely in your coverage. Don't mind if I do. So they have the odds for who Tom Brady will date next. The lowest odds, Alessandra Ambrosio. She's a Victoria's Secret model, right? Plus 800, meaning if you bet 100 that that's the next woman he dates, if you put $100 down and that's the next woman he dates, you get 800 back. Well, you get 900 back. You get your 100 back plus 800. Kendall Jenner, plus 1,000. Isn't she with Devin Booker still? That's not happening, so I wouldn't bet that. Candace Swainpool, plus 1,000. Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's been in a five-year relationship. She's plus 1,200. Another just horrible bet. Kim Kardashian. I mean, come on. Kim Kardashian, plus 1,600. I don't think Tom is going to date Kim Kardashian. Gigi Hadid. Isn't she dating Leo now? She's plus 1,600. Taylor Hill. No idea who that is. Adriana Lima. I know that's a model. Lindsey Vonn, plus 2,500. Naomi Osaka, the tennis player, plus 2,500. Jennifer Aniston, plus 2,500. Ariana Grande, plus 2,500. Those are the people listed that Tom Brady will date next. And of course, they had to do Gisele, too. So who's the front runner to date Gisele next, according to Bovada? Bradley Cooper, plus 800. Brad Pitt, plus 1,200. Leo, plus 1,600. Michael B. Jordan, plus 1,600. Sergey Brin. Who the fuck is that? No idea. Lewis Hamilton. I know he's the F1 racer. Isn't he with Nicole Scherzinger? Scherzinger? Yeah. Or they were. Maybe they've broken up. Zac Efron. John Boyega. Finn from Star Wars is going to date Gisele Bündchen. Okay. Drake, plus 2,000. Riz Ahmed, plus 2,000. Harry Styles, plus 2,500. Cristiano Ronaldo, plus 2,500. So there's your odds for who those people are dating next. Probably none of those people are going to be the right answer, to be honest with you. I wanted to end with this topic because I brought it up earlier in the week, but then I didn't follow up on it, and that's the news came out, I think, on Monday or Tuesday. The Miami Dolphins announced that Tua Tagovailoa will... Tagovailoa... Good God, Steve. I hope you can speak. Tua Tagovailoa will be out this week. Yeah, no kidding. Out this week. Not only should he have not played in last Thursday's game, he shouldn't even have played in the second half of the game 4 days earlier against the Bills, when he literally banged his head on the grass, got up, and fell down twice, and they called it a back injury. Like, and they've already fired the independent doctor who let him back on the field that Sunday, but my guess is Tua's going to be out about a month because the Dolphins are going to be under so much heat, especially after that hit he took last Thursday night where his hands froze. That was not a good look at all. And yet, here's the Dolphins saying 4 days earlier, even though it was clear to every single person who owned a television set that Tua had a concussion, he had every single symptom that we saw just in watching him get up, stumble, fall down, get up, shake his head. That wasn't a back injury. We're not stupid. somebody at the Dolphins, outside of this independent doctor that has already been fired, somebody at the Dolphins is getting fired for allowing him back on the field 4 days later. Hell, like I said, allowing him back on the field in the second half of that game was a joke. So then he gets another concussion this past Thursday. He's in concussion protocol. Two concussions in a span of 4 days? He ain't coming back anytime soon. I really don't think so. So, I mean, the NFL has got to do something. And they've already done some sort of change where now, because they know they totally screwed that one up, they have basically said, if you show signs like a stumbling or literally falling down, you are not allowed to come back in the game. But yet this past weekend, Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end Cameron Brate got hit really hard, went to the sideline, clearly had the effects of a concussion, and went right back in. Now, he didn't end up playing the rest of the second half, but he did go back in the game after getting hit. And it just, they're really dropping the ball on all of this. Like, it's the number one sport in the world. Every year, if you look at the top most watched television shows, the top 75 of them are football games. It dominates American television. Like, NFL is king. But they keep going down this road, they're going to find themselves in some serious lawsuits, and I think it's going to start turning fans away. I don't know when. It might be 5 years. It might be 10 years. It might be 15 years down the line that we find out that all these concussions are having. I mean, we've already seen it from some of the older players. People are dying, committing suicide because of head trauma. And it's scary to watch. And then you see Tua laying on the ground with his hands frozen in front of his face. You're just like, okay, somebody at the Dolphins is going to pay for this. You know, so that's my take on the concussions and how the NFL is handling it. Short answer, not well. So, like I said, in a couple hours, your Thursday podcast will be up. It's reader emails, and in that will include the very first email I read is in regards to what the real behind-the-scenes story is about Sally Carson and what happened on her venture onto Bachelor in Paradise. You don't want to miss that, so that'll be up in a couple hours. Thank you all for tuning in. Really appreciate it. See you in a couple hours, and I'll be back with the Daily Roundup tomorrow. See you!